us until the end. And as I was thinking about something sort of to say this morning, I was struck with one story in my personal life, and I couldn't get it out of my head. So I said, you know what, Lord, all right, I'll be obedient and I'll go forward and I'll say it. And it happened about, I want to say, 5.5 years ago in another life. And I was not the same person I am today. And one evening, one of my friends called me and said, hey, why don't you come up to Palomar Mountain with us, and we're going to hang out and have a good time here at my other friend's house. And I said, well, that sounds interesting. Sure, I'll go. And they were like, why don't you stop by Harris Casino and pick up such and such and bring her as well so she doesn't have to drive. And I said, sure, I can do that. So I go and I pick up my friend from Harris Casino, and we go up to Palomar Mountain. And we had a terrible night, if I can say that today. Because in my eyes today, it was just terrible. Just doing all sorts of bad things that shouldn't have been doing. And anyways, long story short, we ended up going to sleep. And I had to wake up early in the morning. And so we woke up early in the morning, probably about 6, because I had to bring my friend back down the mountain because she had work early in the morning. And so we were running on very little sleep. And we hop in my car about 6 in the morning, start driving down the mountain. And we get a little bit less than halfway down, and she asked me a question that also is terrible. But she asked me, do you have anything that will make me feel better? Because we obviously felt terrible, and it was early in the morning. And so I said, yeah, I do. And so being a mechanic, this next thing probably isn't the wisest thing to do, and I don't recommend anyone doing it. But especially from a mechanic, it was probably just really bad. And so I was driving a stick shift car, and so I said, well, let me get you the keys, because what she wanted was in my glove box, and it was locked. And so I took my keys out of the ignition, and I gave her the keys while we were driving. We didn't pull over to the side, and you know Palomar Mountain, it's windy roads. Now, somebody can answer me, what happens when your key's not in the ignition and you try to turn the wheel? No power steering, and it locks up at a certain point. And so we're going around this right turn, and it's a really, really sharp wide turn, and I wasn't even thinking about it. And by God's grace, it didn't lock up on me. And we come around going to the left turn. It wasn't as steep. And about halfway through the turn, my steering wheel locked up on me. And we went straight into the side of the mountain. And I praise God that neither of us were hurt. The car was done, but neither of us were hurt. We walked away with no bruises. And this was obviously, like I said before, my conversion experience. And so I didn't think anything of it. And it was just in and out of my mind. I went home, and about a half a year later was when someone for the first time came to me and presented the Word of God and sort of had me really think about it. And I have family who's Christian and stuff like that, so it wasn't anything sort of abnormal, but I just had never given it much thought. And so I remember after that, I went home and I was telling my dad, and I was basically just contemplating what had taken place in my life and what I've done and just my life history. And I remember God asked me one question, and he said, why didn't your steering wheel lock up going right? Because logically, it was a sharper turn, and so I had to turn more, but it didn't lock up, but it locked up going left. And I really only had one answer, and that was by the grace of God. And I recognized that if I would have died in that moment, I would not have been where I am today, but as well, he would have not been able to take me home with him, which is his desire to take each one of us with him. And so I see that God was with me, even in the times when I wasn't following him. And, you know, I just marvel how God is so loving to us, even when we don't love him back. And it's literally as if a void in God's heart is forever there if we aren't with him. And I can honestly say over the last, now it's been 4.5 years since I've given my heart to Christ, that this has been the happiest chapter of my life. And it doesn't stop there, because day by day, it continues to get sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. And so I just want to encourage everyone as they're listening to the testimonies today from our precious youth, who I have been personally blessed by their testimonies and what they've shared, that you would be as well, and that we would all enter into the experience of John chapter 3. And if you want to turn there with me really quick, we can see John chapter 3, and it was our scripture reading. John chapter 3, and we'll start in verse 31. And when you get there, let me know by saying amen. So John chapter 3 and verse 31 says, "He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He that comes from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifies, and no man receives his testimony. But he that received his testimony has set this seal, that God is true." And so our prayer as young people, as youth, is that as you listen to the testimonies today, that you would be able to leave here with the testimony that God is true, and that you would make the decision, if you haven't, to place your trust in him, and he is faithful, and he will be there for you through the good times and the bad times. And so we just want to encourage you as young people to really think about that as these four share their precious testimonies with us. And so the first speaker I'd like to invite up is Cameron Quijada.
Good morning, church family, and happy Sabbath. Like Solomon just said, I'm Cameron Quijada, and I'm actually a freshman at Murrieta Mesa High School. Now, I've been going to the Fallbrook Church for quite some time now, but it's only been a few years since I've really gotten involved with the church, and more specifically their youth group here. Today, I'd like to share my testimony with you all, which is inherently my walk with Christ and my journey with him. I'll be the first to admit that I have a lot of growing up to do, and I'm a very self-involved person, and I tend to consciously and subconsciously deny the help from God and assume that I can do all things on my own, which is very, very far from the truth. While I know this truth, I still struggle with it, and I really need to become more dependent upon God. In doing so, I know that God's light will begin to shine through me and that I'll become a walking testimony. So, I've been going to a charter or public school my whole life, with 1 year of Christian school thrown into the mix. And God plays a very, very minimal part at these schools. And I'm very lucky to have grown up in an environment that encourages talking about God and doing outreach. Now, at these schools that I've gone to, it's kind of taboo for students and teachers alike to demonstrate a religious bias. And I'm a very involved student in my school. I participate in a lot of extracurriculars. I do shows, sports, so and so. And then so many activities look attractive to me. And I have a tremendous fear of missing out on something that I feel like could be good. Whether I think the activity looks fun, or my friends are participating in it, or I feel like it will look good on college applications, I always want in, and I don't stop to think. Now, I struggle with saying no to activities, even when I know they conflict with God's will and my personal religious beliefs. A chapter in the Bible that always speaks to me during these times is Romans 8, and it's helped me through so many situations in which I have had to say no. Now, would you please all turn with me to Romans 8, verses 5 through 11. Here Romans tells us, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's will. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Now, this passage really anchors me to God, and I know that the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is enough. God is enough for me, and I don't need to rely on worldly things for my own happiness. Now, I don't have a car wreck testimony or a story like Paul's. However, in Revelation it says, "Behold, I come to the door and knock." My testimony is that every time Jesus comes and knocks at the door of my heart, I'm committed to answering him and welcoming him in. Thank you. Now I'd like to invite Serenity up for our next testimony.
Happy Sabbath, church family.
Today I'll be sharing a little bit of how I started my walk with Christ. As a little girl, I remember going to a church along with my family. In those times, we attended a Catholic church. Even though we went to church, I really didn't know God and what he can do for me and how he could be there for me. I just went to go along. Then something happened about 5 years ago. My family became broken. My mom and dad had decided to get a divorce. In that moment, so many thoughts ran through my mind. I got on my knees and started to think and speak out loud. I was so upset and hurt. This was happening. Soon after that happened, my mom received orders to transfer to California for her job, and we packed up and moved from Texas across the country to California. So many change in a small time frame. I still have so many unanswered questions, like, why did we have to leave Texas? Why did my parents not love each other? And why did they have to get a divorce? By the time it had been a year since we visited or set foot in a church, I stopped asking God for him to send me my dad to visit. I felt that he was ignoring me and not hearing me at all. One Saturday in August, my mom had invited me to come along to church. She heard the church in Fallbrook was very welcoming and a loving church. So we attended Fallbrook SDA Church for about 2 months. And then one day I heard a sermon of David Machado, the sermon of Give Me This Mountain. It talked about how no matter what obstacles or tribulations we go through, God is always there. It was very powerful to me that following week, the church started to advertise the Revelation of Love series. I encouraged my mom to attend because I wanted to learn more about how God could help me move a mountain. I remember after 4 classes I had attended, the pastor asked if anyone feels the desire to be renewed with the Holy Spirit and to stand. I stood up in that moment. I felt the desire to be connected more with God. I was baptized April 1st, 2017. That same year, I remember praying and asking the Lord for my dad to be able to save enough money to come and visit. Only this time, I prayed daily and asked God to let it be in his plan and not mine. In October, my dad called and gave us the news that he will be visiting us for Thanksgiving. I was so happy. In that moment, I broke down in tears and thanked God for answering my prayers. I asked him to forgive me for being so angry and frustrated at him. Even preparing for this Sabbath was a challenge. I had mixed feelings of sharing my story, and I even had an unpleasant dream where the devil would argue that God has only been there once for me, and that he could make me happier. In the end, God gives us internal happiness. Anything else is temporary. Thank God for unanswered prayers. Amen.
It. Good morning, church. So for those of you who don't know me, I'm Jacqueline Grange, and I was asked to give a testimony today. There's a lot of different testimonies I could give, but I wanted to share one of the most recent struggles that I've been going through. So I love the ocean. I love the beach. I'm a swimmer. I'm a surfer, and I decided I need a job. So what about lifeguarding? And so my goal was set on, for quite a while, becoming a beach lifeguard. For this to happen, what you first have to do is you have to go through the tryouts, and then depending on which lifeguard, say if it's Oceanside Beach Lifeguarding, they'll actually put you through a course and pay for you to go through this course that you need before you can become certified and work. And then other beaches, they'll do it where you have to go through the course, and then you do the tryouts. But Oceanside is closest to me, so I was going to try out at Oceanside. Then I discovered the tryout days were on Sabbath. So that was a bummer. And then I looked at the course. Well, the tryouts are only one day, so what about this course I have to go through? And I discovered it's also on Sabbath. Saturday and Sunday, 4 weeks, a whole month, and then I'm through it. So I struggled with this a bit, trying to figure out, okay, well, would this really be wrong? Because, I mean, I'm learning to be a lifeguard, right? So I would be helping people. And I went back and forth in my head. And I really didn't want to be one of those religious freaks that goes and wants, you know, exception made for them. Oh, I'm religious, so can you do this for me, please? Like, I really didn't want to be that annoying person. But I talked about the situation with some of my friends and youth, and then I prayed about it, and I made some phone calls, and I was told that for the last 30 years, they've had this same lifeguard, beach lifeguard course on weekends, on Saturday, for the last 30 years. It's not going to change. That's what I was told. So I'm like, okay, all right. But I was not ready to give this up. So I decided to pray about it more, and I told God, you know what? I really don't know what to do, but if you want me to be doing this, and forgive me if I want to do this for any wrong motives or wrong reasons. I don't think it's wrong, but if I do have wrong motives, forgive me for that, and if it's your will that I be there, please open a door to make it happen. And I wasn't fully convicted that it would actually be wrong, because I still went back and forth. And in Mark, if you want to turn with me, Mark 2, 27 through 28. It reads, "And he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath." But what does that mean? In this situation, if you go ask yourself, what would you do? What does that mean? Because obviously, if a lamb falls in a well, you save it on the Sabbath, right? And I would be learning to do something good, helping save people. So I was torn. But ultimately, in the end, I decided, you know what? No. God, please open a way, make a door open so that I can become a beach lifeguard if it's your will, without me violating my conscience. And even if I'm not fully convicted that it would be for sure wrong, I'm still torn. So it's that gray area. And at least out of respect for my mother, because she believed that it would be wrong, then I have obligation not to, because we're not to be a stumbling block for others. So I prayed about it, and I moved on. I almost forgot about it. The day that the Oceanside Beach lifeguard tryouts came, it's a beautiful, sunny, perfect Sabbath day. It came, and it went. I didn't go. And I still wasn't ready to give this up. So I decided I'm going to look at other beaches. So I went and I looked at the Encinitas Beach Lifeguard Program, who they actually pay better. So it's a plus. So their tryout date happened to fall on a Wednesday. I'm like, oh, yes, this is great. This is perfect. But I still need to go through the whole course. And for their program, you actually have to go through the whole entire course before you do the tryouts. So I'm like, okay, tryouts on Wednesday. This is progress. But God, you're still going to have to do something. And through all this, I was doing an application that I needed to be submitted. It has to be submitted online before you can obviously get hired. So the day before the Encinitas tryouts, I felt impressed to just, why not? Finish the application, submit it. So I did. Still doesn't do me any good because I need the whole course. So I felt impressed to make some more phone calls. So I made 3 more phone calls. And I had the phone number for the chief head guard, lifeguard. Thankfully, I didn't have to bother him and use that. I'm glad. But I made phone calls to the different colleges, one of which was Miramar College that does this course. I figured out who all the 4 instructors are who would give and teach the course, and I emailed every single one of them. And I gave a brief little description of, you know, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. I don't work or do school on Sabbath, so is there any possible way, any at all? I'll go through the program twice. I don't care. Is there any way I could get through this? Any possible way? And then within an hour, one of them emailed me back, and he said, you know what? I'm sorry. This is the way it's always been. There's no exceptions. You have to show up to class every single day. If you miss any, you're out. So, no, I'm sorry. But the last line of the email gave me hope. He said, in June, though, we are planning on adding a class for those who can't make weekends during the week so they can do this. I was so happy. That, to me, was an answer to prayer because for 30 years, they've been doing it the same way. They told me absolutely no. And now suddenly, oh, we're going to be adding a class. I'm like, yes. I was so happy. I was actually in the back parking lot at school. It's an empty overflow lot, and it's dirt. And I was sitting in the back of my Jeep, and I was so happy that I had to text and call 4 people right there to let them know, even though my phone was on like 2%. So then after that, right now I'm waiting for that course. I'm getting my pool lifeguard certification in the meantime, hopefully this week, from a nice young lady on my swim team who she offered to help certify me on a non-Sabbath day. And then I'll be looking forward to that June program, end of June, where I can get through that. And then reflecting back on this whole situation, without even realizing it, I was sort of witnessing to a lot of people along the way without even knowing, because there's obviously all those instructors, so all 4 of those instructors, they now know what Seventh-day Adventism is, what the Sabbath is, and because of this kid who wanted to take their course, and so do people on my swim team. And also, I'm in a health class right now where we had an assignment that we had to list a goal, and my goal was the lifeguard. And then a bunch of mini goals, which were all the little physical things I have to get to the point of being able to do so I could pass the tryouts. And through this health class, we have a journal, so I've been documenting all along the whole process of my setbacks and the Sabbath issue. So now my health teacher knows all about this too and seems pretty open to it. So because of this whole situation, God has brought good out of it, being able to witness to others, and also has proven to me once again, he answers prayers. Amen. And if we choose to be faithful, even if we're not sure, because not everything is black and white. We live in a fallen world, and there's a battle going on, so sometimes things aren't super clear. The Bible doesn't always say, no, it would be wrong to do that, or yes, it would be wrong to do that when it's like a beach lifeguard. I don't think it mentions beach lifeguarding in the Bible, as far as I know. But if we choose to follow our conscience and be faithful, he can open doors, does answer prayers, and definitely brings good out of it to witness to others. Thank you. And now our last speaker will be Natalie.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Isn't it wonderful to hear the testimonies of our youth? And just like our speakers today, every one of you that have walked through these doors has your own testimony. Everyone sitting, standing, and walking around these buildings. We all have a testimony. That's because when you step foot into God's house, you're now accepting applications for God to come into your life, whether or not you know it. But when you do know it, and when you do realize it, your views begin to change, not only on God, but the world around you as well. As we've read today multiple times in John 3:31-33, what he has said and heard, that he testifies, and that no one receives his testimony. And he who has received his testimony has certified that God is true. John is telling us of the power of testimony, of the newfound knowledge that God is good, and he is bringing a new light to our dark pasts. He's giving us the strength that we were longing for that we didn't know we needed. And it is this strength and this knowledge that we have with God that leads us to continue our journey in testimony. But no one said testimonies would be easy. No one says life's going to be easy. And the trials and tribulations you once faced alone will come back. And sometimes they come back a little bit harder. Because as my mom always told me when I was younger, the closer you get to God, the harder Satan will try to pull you away. Yet God assures us that by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony in Revelation 12:11, we are not alone. We can overcome these challenges with God. So when we face the same things that we once feared, it becomes a little bit easier. We have the knowledge that we are not alone, as I had said earlier. And it is this knowledge that God is with us forever that keeps us to continue our journey with him. But in the end, testimonies are not about us. They're about God. They're about his grace and his love and everything that he can do for us. And we tell these through our own convictions, through our convictions that we should be going with God and that we should take our walk with God. And just as we heard from our four speakers, well, three, I'm your fourth, speakers today about how God has stood with them, he too shall stand with you. Thank you. I now invite the congregation to rise for our closing hymn.
collectively offers our benediction. Fallbrook Seventh Adventist Youth, you have inspired us. You're amazing with your maturity, be you 10 or 14 or a teenager, the wisdom with which you speak about God and processing principles from His Word. And because you want to be like Jesus, we want to be like you. And on behalf of the church and your pastoral staff, thank you for encouraging our hearts today. And we leave you with this promise from Isaiah chapter 40, which says, even though youths may grow weary and tired, is it possible you're also human? Yes, it is. And just like adults and children, we grow weary at times with you. But we trust in an everlasting God.